most of you can tell, I am not Clarence Sweeney. I don't know how the asterisk got behind her name, but I did submit the abstract by myself, so I do presume somehow it was my fault. But last year, my name tag, I've worked at three different universities, and last year my name tag somehow represented all three of those universities at the same time. Something like UC Santa Cruz in Urbana, Michigan. I don't know how that happened. So today I'm going to talk about NYCHM credits, and when I talk about NYCHM credit, I'm thinking about how to supplement NYCHM into a system that receives synthetic fertilizer. And this is a long-term experiment that was established in 1993 by Dr. Richard Harwood at Michigan State University. He called it the Living Field Lab. It's a split-split plot design, randomized complete block, four reps. The splits refer to the fact that every phase of the rotation is present each year. And this is all these management treatments are with and without cover crop. The rotation is a corn, soybean, wheat rotation versus continuous corn. It's nice to have a plot that has been in continuous corn for now 15 years. The data I'm going to present is from 2006. And the overall goal or aim was to look at the benefits of organic and inputs either in the form of a cover crop or composted dairy manure. This is a view of the LFL back in June of 06. I started at Michigan State in January of 06. So I've been the project manager of this experiment for two summers now. And this shows you that there's the wheat sitting right next to the corn and the soybean. So it takes out year-to-year variation when you can have all phases present at the same time. The four main management treatments, and I'm going to use these codes throughout my talk today. Integrated fertilizer, which does receive synthetic fertilizer based on the pre-sidedress nitrate test, and its weed control is a banded herbicide. And then a management treatment called integrated compost, or IC. There, the end supply was completely from the composted dairy manure at a rate of about 4 megagrams per hectare in the same type of herbicide control. And we have an organic system where, again, the same rate of compost is applied, but cultivation was done more often, of course. And I wanted to have this to be a real test of nitrogen differences, so I actually got on my hands and knees and pulled some weeds. The rotation and the cover crops, here I'm starting with soybean. After soybean is winter wheat, that essentially is the cover crop. And then the next spring, in winter wheat, red clover, mammoth red clover, is frost seeded into that standing wheat. Wheat's taken off in early July or mid-July, and then the red clover can grow the rest of the year, and we allow it to overwinter, and it produces a lot of biomass the next spring, and then we kill it in 2 weeks, then we incorporate it. And then corn follows the red clover, and after corn we put in cereal ryegrass. Continuous corn we plant in cereal ryegrass after harvest. Historically, in Dr. Harwood's hands, he was using crimson clover interseeded, and so that was crimson clover planted the last pass you could get in there in cultivation. And that didn't always take. Some dry years it failed. It happened to fail in 2005, and that does affect my data in 2006. So the objectives, first of all, we just want to look at soil organic matter trends over the period of time. And I want to look at the effect of cultural management systems on the nitrogen supplying capacity of the soil. And I'll end with nitrogen credits for the various organic inputs. I sampled the soil when we got there in the spring of 06, down to 25 centimeters. I've got some destructive sampling at B6, some chlorophyll meter measurements, and today's talk is all about the unfertilized corn plots, except organic did receive the compost. So I think of corn as a great integrator of available nitrogen. So as nitrogen becomes available, corn does a great job of scavenging it. If you measure the nitrogen accumulation of unfertilized corn I think that's a very good estimate for net mineralization of soil and land. A little difference here is that we did not put compost on the integrated compost treatment in 2006. So it had compost for 13 years versus the organic getting it for the 14th year. So just see if that 1 year makes any difference. Here's one of the crew actually putting the frost seeding, putting the red clover in. There is wheat there, you can hardly see it. It was planted late. But this is March, on a nice sunny day, getting the seeds on before it thawed that afternoon. The freeze thaw works it into the ground. This is what the red clover looks like right before we take the wheat off. It was a very nice crop in 06. Interestingly, there was a 2 bushel per acre hit on the wheat, having it on the cover side. So there's a trade-off. Here's our compost with dairy manure. The organic source is oak leaves. Depending on when we actually apply the compost, there's a range of moisture, but it's about 50% sand and 2.5% total nitrogen. Now there's the compost being applied on one of our plots. 4 megagrams per hectare is just a light dusting. It's really not much compost. You have to look for it to see it. Now, it's a split plot design, but I couldn't help but split it again. And I'm not going to talk about the fertilized portion of the plots, but so we have cover on the left side, no cover on the right, and then I split them for fertilizer and no fertilizer. And I'm going to talk about the unfertilized plots today. But there was a good fertilizer response this year, and for example, our all corn plots were maximized by the various rates we put on based on PSMT, and we had about 160 bushel per acre corn in 2006 on a sandy loam. So briefly, these are some of the results I'm going to talk about. I'm going to quantify the red clover biomass and nitrogen. I've got some in-season measurements. Got to show some yield and accumulation and get to the end credits. So here is the soil organic matter. It was a modified walking black technique to get these numbers. You can see right away that composted treatments have trend, there's an increase. This is a standard deviation, these error bars. There's an increase towards more soil organic matter, at least 0.5% increase, because we started at 1.5 in 1993. So we're pushing the edge of an increase of 1% soil organic matter in just the last 14 years. I need to point out here that continuous corn without cover has not increased soil organic matter in the last 14 years. I find that very interesting. Here are our red clover biomass and accumulation. And Dr. Kirshen mentioned that there's not a lot of weed data out there. Well, we sampled for weeds. Now, I didn't sample in the continuous corn plots because I didn't see any cover crop there that we failed to establish in 2005. So this is just red clover versus the non-red clover side, which would be some volunteer wheat came back, the usual suspects, lime squirt, pigweed, and unfortunately in small plot research you get some dandelions. So I've quantified the dandelions and others. There we go. So as you can see, we've got about 2 metric tons of red clover biomass versus less than a ton here. And compost seems to help the red clover, and it certainly benefits the weeds as well. And we get over to biomass nitrogen. We got about 70 kilograms. We've got 22 in the weeds, and look how much more N we get in the weeds when we have compost. But the difference of each one of these treatments is more than 40 kilograms per hectare. So that's my net increase, cover versus no cover. About 47 there, 41 there, 44 there. So looking at a seedling response to these various treatments, again, error bars are standard deviation, and there's my corn, soybean, wheat rotation with this management, and there's the integrated compost. They didn't get compost in 2006, organic did. You can see right away that corn following red clover has an early season benefit, and it looks significant there. you can see that when the crimson clover fails, it doesn't matter if corn grows cover or no cover. It's the same year, biomass at this early stage. It's 32 days after planting. These plants are about V6. Now, to bring up a story within a story, the organic plots are a little behind at V6 compared to the plot that didn't get compost that year. I thought maybe this was noise. This showed up 2 years in a row. I'm not going to show 07 data. But maybe this is immobilization that's occurring early. Chlorophyll meter, I used a Minolta SPAD meter on the leaf above the ear. And at R1, you can still see we have the same cover crop benefit, the red clover. This is a relative greenness. If you're not familiar with the chlorophyll meter, 60 value is very close to full fertilizer or fertilization. And again, continuous corn, there's no response, cover, no cover, because it's all the same. But we've got a decent response at R1. Now I've superimposed R3 data right on top of this. And this worked good in my hotel room, I'm not sure about now. So I go back and forth. You can see now organic has the highest chlorophyll status, or nitrogen status in the plant. All three are still high, but maybe this one's coming on late. I go back to R1. Yeah, how do you like that? This is fairly high tech. The decrease, this has decreased from R1. Oh, no, I've gone too far. There we go. R1 to R3, this decrease, that's 15% for both of those. It's trickier than it looks. And then this is a 15% decrease. But look at the organic. It's hanging in there. It doesn't drop as much from R1 to R3. So is that that late addition of compost, is that now becoming more available? We're past the time of immobilization, and we're getting late release from R1 to R3. I think that might be what's occurring there. Grain yield, we had very good yields, and these are unfertilized plants other than the compost that's put on here. And this is about 148 bushel per acre right here, this 8 megagram. And yes, the seedling effect, the chlorophyll numbers, we got the same trend. Corn was benefited by the red clover, and the composted treatments are higher as well. Now this is the above ground biomass nitrogen, and you know, same trend. But the organic ends up with slightly more nitrogen at the end, not statistically different than the integrated compost, but looks like the nitrogen came on late for that treatment. Now, to look at what I view as a nitrogen credit, we've got an extra 30 kilograms of N per hectare in the corn that followed red clover only. Now, you could look at this as the historical compost treatment, because it didn't get it in 06. We got a 55 kilograms per hectare increase in nitrogen. Same there, 55 kilograms, cover, no cover, in that corn. So if we look at the same graph, but from the standpoint of the benefits of the compost only, you see we got an extra 20 kilograms per hectare from the historical compost, and another 10 for the latest addition. So add that together, it's a difference of 30 from there to there. And we're putting on about 100 kilograms total N with that 4 metric ton addition. So of the 100, we got 30 of them. Now my most dramatic comparison, since I needed some drawing, we're looking at continuous corn, no cover, versus our best treatment in this presentation, which would have been compost and red clover. That's a difference of 90 kilograms per hectare. So if you're an agricultural producer and you had that composted system, PS&T suggested we only needed a supplement of about 45 pounds of that to maximize yield, and that was the case. So to go over my overall conclusions, it's interesting that we didn't see any increase in soil organic matter under continuous corn. I've got several harebrained ideas why that might be, but I won't get into it here. Our yields are a little lower than in the Midwest, and maybe those great big yields that they can get in Illinois and Iowa is building organic matter under continuous corn, but we did not see it in our sandy loam, 1.5% organic matter soil. The red clover contained 40 kilograms more N than the weedy side, and of that, we got about 30 kilograms in the corn plant. Seems like a pretty good efficiency. But I haven't alluded to this yet, but how did we get 55 if there was only a net difference of 40? Well, now we're talking about some kind of interaction of red clover with the compost. And has the compost made the red clover N more available? Has the red clover made the compost N more available? That might be what it is. I'm not sure. We'll have to look into this more thoroughly. But we did get a nice interaction that increased the N credit in that system. Compost of dairy manure supplied about 30 kilograms per hectare. And again, we were able to save the farm 90 kilograms per hectare of N in fertilizer costs by having